Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. Welcome to those of you who are watching this at home. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. It is good to be back with all of you after not being here last Sunday. We had a wonderful time in Indiana at Camp Lakeview, and now it's good to be back. Good to be back here in the village with all of you. And big thanks to Pastor Perry Schafelker for filling in for me last Sunday. Today is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. It is a beautiful day that the Lord has given to us. And we are going to use Divine Service Setting 1 as our liturgy today, which is found in your hymnal starting on page 151. I invite you to stand as we begin our worship with the invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with the introit, which is printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. The Lord is the strength of his people. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is the strength of his people. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For for this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, O Lord, let your merciful ears be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and grant that what they ask may be in accord with your gracious will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35, beginning with verse 4. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gradual is printed below the collect on the inside cover of the bulletin. Fear the Lord, you his saints.
For those who fear
Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The epistle reading today is from the letter of St. James, chapter 2, beginning with verses 1 through 10 and then proceeding on to verse 14. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. You may be seated. The sermon hymn today is number 848, Lord, whose love through humble service. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today comes from the epistle reading. This passage from the second chapter of the letter of St. James. And for our sermon today, we're really just going to focus on the second section of it, the last part that begins in verse 14, where James talks about the relationship between saving faith and good works. And of course, part of that discussion for us as Lutherans is our understanding of the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And what role, if any, do good works play in that? We all know that we are called as Christians to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves and to follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're going to think about that and meditate upon that this morning. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I have something I want to begin the sermon with. Just going to take a minute here and let you listen to this. Okay, who recognizes that song? Okay, lots of hands going up. Good. I heard some of you humming along with it. Some of you are tempted to sing, I know. So we have some early 90s rock fans in here, apparently. That song, if you don't know it, is called More Than Words. And, of course, that is what I titled the sermon today, More Than Words. It's by a band by the name of Extreme, which I think is just kind of funny because there's nothing really extreme about a couple guys playing acoustic guitars and singing about love. But that's another story, I guess. That song, almost exactly 30 years ago, came out the summer of 1991, became an instant radio hit, went all the way to the top of the Billboard charts. It hit number one, and to this day, it is absolutely the one song that the band Extreme is really known for. I mean, they have other music, but that one overshadows them all. So I guess the question is, why? Why did that song become such a hit? What made that song so popular back in 1991? And besides it just being kind of like, you know, a fun tune to listen to and maybe sing along to, I think one of the other things that makes this song unique is the message of it. It's really not like other love songs that you're used to hearing. More than words is all you have to do to make things real. Then you wouldn't have to say that you love me, because I'd already know. In other words, hearing those famous three little words, I love you, everyone loves to hear that, right? But unless that is backed up by real, concrete action, unless someone actually does something to outwardly show that love, then in the end, really, it's just a bunch of empty words. I think that's a message that really hits on the way lots of human beings think about relationships, whether consciously or not. And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships either, but this is basically true across the board. What everybody says is, actions speak louder than words, right? Most of us don't want to just hear that we're loved, hear that we're cared for by others. We want to be shown. Because in the end, those acts of love and kindness and sacrifice become the evidence for us that the words are in fact true, that it's more than words. And as it turns out, not only is this the case when it comes to our relationships with other people, but it also happens to be true in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Actions matter to God. The things that you do, the way you live your life, the choices that you make, the good works that you perform on a daily basis are integral to your faith life as a Christian and not optional for people who claim to love God and who expect God to love them in return. Now, hold on a minute, because that doesn't sound very Lutheran of me, does it? Someone's got the Lutheran police on speed dial. Just hold on a second. Some of us have been conditioned to get a little bit skeptical whenever we hear somebody talking about the benefit of doing good works. And then we end up with this passage like the one we have in our epistle reading from James chapter 2, and at first glance, it seems like James is teaching something that's completely the opposite of the gospel that we're used to. It sounds like James is saying that your works, your actions, matter more than your faith, and that makes us as Lutherans squirm just a little bit. Because we prefer to hear it the way that St. Paul describes it in Ephesians chapter 2, that it's by grace that you've been saved through faith apart from works. We prefer the great solas of the Reformation, sola fide, faith alone, sola gratia, grace alone, sola scriptura, scripture alone. We don't want to hear that good works and holy living factor into the equation at all. Because in our sinful nature, we know that we can never be holy enough to earn ourselves a place in God's kingdom. And yet, here's James. In verse 14, James says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" Or verse 17, "Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." So James apparently wants to see more than just faith alone. James wants to see more than words. James wants to see action. So what do we do with all this? Do we just throw out the last 500 years of Lutheran theology and start over? Should we all just go back home to Rome and start preaching works righteousness again? Well, maybe not. If we take a closer look at this, we actually see that what James is saying to us today really is not all that incompatible with the rest of Scripture. In fact, that shouldn't be very surprising to us, because the same Holy Spirit who inspired James to write this epistle is the same Holy Spirit who inspired the rest of the Bible too. We know from other very clear portions of Scripture that even the tiniest amount of saving faith is powerful enough to save a person alone. You might think of passages like when Isaiah tells us that a bruised reed God will not break, and a smoldering wick God will not snuff out. Jesus tells us that faith, even the size of a teeny tiny mustard seed, is powerful enough to take a mountain and throw it into the heart of the sea. Jesus tells many people throughout his ministry that it's their faith that has saved them. It's their faith that has made them well. Jesus does not require anybody to save themselves by their own good works. And neither does James. So James is not actually denying that truth in our passage today. Dare I say it, James is also a good Lutheran. Because when James uses the term faith here, he's not actually referring to the same kind of faith that Jesus or St. Paul or even Martin Luther would be referring to, that true saving trust and faith in God. When James uses the word faith here, he's talking about this kind of pseudo-faith that exists only somewhere up here in your brain but hasn't really made its way down into the heart. So, in other words, this would be the kind of faith that says, yes, I understand that there's a God. I believe that there's a God. I acknowledge that he exists. But this is not the person who is also saying, I fear, love, and trust in him above all things. Instead, it's just a mental exercise. And I'm not just making this up in order to try to get James 2 to fit in with the rest of the Bible either. If you go ahead to the next verse, which we don't have printed in our bulletin, but verse 19, the very next verse after our passage, James says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Right? So demons have a knowledge of who God is, right? Demons acknowledge the existence of the Lord, but demons are not trusting in the Lord. Demons do not love the Lord, and the actions of demons that follow from that are completely against everything that the Lord stands for, right? So demons have that kind of false belief, false faith, just an understanding that God exists, and that's it. Unfortunately, I think we all know people that kind of fall into that category too. I'm not saying all your friends are demonic, but I think, you know, we know people who may say outwardly that they love God, they say they believe in God, and yet their actions say completely the opposite. Now, you have to be careful here, of course, because none of us are God, and we can't see into a person's heart. Right? So none of us can say with 100% certainty that we know who has saving faith and who doesn't. And truth be told, there are many times when our own outward actions are not exactly in line with the faith that is in our hearts either. So I don't want us leaving thinking that the outward actions are the only thing that matters, the end-all be-all, right? As if to say that when you perform some outward sin, you're in danger of losing your salvation every single time. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that actions, works, do matter. And what Lutherans have been taught for 500 years is still true. Salvation by faith alone is still true. It's still the article upon which the church stands or falls. But James gives us this really helpful reminder here. We are saved by faith alone, but faith is never actually alone. True saving faith always have action, always have good works flowing from it. It's always more than words. It's just kind of the natural way that we've been created. This is how the Holy Spirit works. One of my favorite teachings of Jesus that I think illustrates this point so well is from Matthew chapter 25. When Jesus is teaching his disciples, he's telling them all about the last day, and he uses this parable of the sheep and the goats to illustrate this. So it's really interesting because in that parable, the way that you separate the sheep from the goats, the way that you can tell who's a sheep and who's a goat is maybe not what you would expect. It's actually surprisingly not the who has saving faith and who doesn't. The sheep and the goats are separated by who has outward works, outward action. For whom is it more than words? And I say surprisingly because even in that passage, the sheep are surprised by it. Jesus says to the sheep, he says, When I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was sick and in prison, you came and visited me. And the sheep are standing there saying, when did we even do this? The sheep have no memory of it whatsoever. They say, when did we feed you? When did we clothe you? When did we visit you? It's interesting because the reality is that just by being one of God's sheep, by grace through faith alone, the Holy Spirit creates good works within you. Sometimes you don't even realize you're doing them. This is what we call sanctification or being made holy. It's the thing that makes your faith more than words. Acts of love, for God and for the neighbor that you wouldn't have any power to do unless the Holy Spirit had already given you the gift of true saving faith. So as sheep, then, we just follow our shepherd. The shepherd, Jesus, is ultimately the one who has shown us all what it means to love in a way that's more than words. So Jesus doesn't just pat us on the head and say, "I love you," and then kicks us out into the wilderness to fend for ourselves. That's not how Jesus does things. Jesus shows what love really looks like through his outward actions. Jesus sacrificed everything for the people that he loved. Jesus lived his life as a servant. He put himself last so that you and I could be first in his kingdom. We see that in our gospel reading today with the deaf man who was healed. Right? Jesus pulls that man aside privately to heal him, to give him that outward action of love. And of course, Jesus is the one who outstretched his hands upon the cross and gave up even his own life for us. Jesus is the one who is raised on the third day and showed what that love looked like once and for all. Showed that outward love, showed that it was more than just empty words. These outward actions of Jesus are all the evidence that we need to know that God really loves us, that in fact God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Or to quote the song again, it's more than words to show that God feels that his love for us is real. And that's what God has surrounded us with in worship right now, even as we speak. More than words. Words plus true comfort. Words plus true hope. Words plus forgiveness and salvation. Words plus the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, in, with, and under the bread and wine, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Words plus actions of love. More than words, so that you'd already know that Jesus loves you. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. At this time, we join together in speaking the words of our faith. And this morning, we will use the words of the Nicene Creed, which are printed for you on page 158. We confess together, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In our prayers today, there are a number of updates for you. We have under hospitalized, we are going to be lifting up in prayer Ted Ginsey, that is brother to Tony Ginsey, undergoing some testing and experiencing a number of health concerns. We'll also be lifting up in prayer Ferris Kasten. She is in the hospital fighting an infection. Also, we have been informed that Neil Hake, that's Marvin and Lorraine's son, he has been diagnosed with pneumonia and tested positive for COVID. So he is currently hospitalized as well. We'll be lifting up in prayer Wilfred Kasten. He was hospitalized over the week, but he was able to leave the hospital and is feeling better, thanks be to God. We continue to pray for Orville Obermeyer and his recovery from his recent quadruple bypass surgery. He was finally able to leave ICU and will be hopefully leaving the hospital this week. We will be lifting up in prayer Jim Quaid, who also tested positive for COVID-19. He has mild symptoms, thanks be to God. And finally, I have an update that we're going to be re-including Beulah Holly into our ongoing health needs list. She was briefly hospitalized over the week, but she is now back home. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in holy baptism, you have caused waters to break forth in the wilderness and made streams in the desert of this world. Open our eyes to this new life in faith and our ears to hear your word. Free us to walk uprightly and loose our tongues to praise you for this treasure. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you have made us all heirs of your kingdom through holy baptism, holding the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Keep us from showing partiality and making distinctions among ourselves. Create and sustain in us a lively faith in Christ Jesus, and lead us by your Spirit to be active in all good works. Bless our partners in mission and ministry, especially Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Centralia. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort troubled hearts as they continue to patiently wait for you to send them another pastor to serve them, and that you would continue to bless the efforts of vacancy pastor Miguel Tornieri. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we place our hope in you and ask your blessing on all earthly rulers, that their plans would be ordered for the welfare of those they govern, and that you would execute your justice for the oppressed. Bless and guide all those who serve in the armed forces of this nation, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, help all parents to raise up their children to know you as their help and hope, that they may not put their trust in princes in whom there is no salvation. Remind us daily of our citizenship in your kingdom by holy baptism. And today we especially thank and praise you for granting that gift to Solden Nicholas and Hunter Michael Friedrich yesterday. Lead and guide them as they grow to be the men of God you would have them to be. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rain you have sent to water the earth over this weekend. We ask that you would continue to provide favorable weather as we look ahead to the approaching harvest season. For those who work in the fields, we ask that you keep them safe as they go about their tasks. And we thank you for all of the blessings of life on this earth. And we lift before you those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including John, Susan, Anne, Diane, Lisa, Maddox, and Carol. We also thank you for the gifts of marriage and family, and rejoice with those who are celebrating special anniversaries, including James and Jessica Kohling. Bless them with your love each and every day. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, behold graciously the sick, and those in any need, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Bill, Helen, Francis, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift before you all those who have been hospitalized or recently hospitalized, including Ferris and Ted, Neil, Wilfred, and Beulah. We also lift before you those who are recovering from recent surgeries, Orville, Roy, and Larry, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Marvin, Lorna, Amy, Wayne, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Linda, Marvin, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, Jim, all those who are fighting cancer. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, grant that all who come to the Lord's Supper this day would do so in repentance and faith for the forgiveness of sins and in the unity of a true confession. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I will invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. We sing together the offertory found on the bottom of page 159.
Amen.
As we enter into the service of the sacrament, just a quick reminder for those of you, in case you didn't hear the all-call announcement or see the Facebook post, the elders are requesting that if you brought a mask with you, if you please wear it as you come up to communion. We are going to be communing here at the communion rail, so we're not going to alter that method of distributing communion, but we're just asking that if you please wear your mask as you come forward. We'd greatly appreciate that. So we begin with the service of the sacrament now on page 160. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please stand. We turn now to page 164. We sing our post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is number 797. stand. You may be seated. A few announcements before we head out on our way today. I wanted to bring your attention to the fact that we have just begun a new Sunday morning Bible class for adults. So at 8:30, you are invited to join us here in the sanctuary. We are going through the Ten Commandments, but we're doing that using Martin Luther's Large Catechism, which I know a lot of us may not be familiar with. So it's kind of fun to see some of the extra things that Luther wrote about some of the basic Christian doctrines. We hope you can join us for that class. And if you can't join us in person, all of our Bible classes are now live streamed and available on demand for you to watch when it's more convenient for you. So we hope one way or another you'll be able to avail yourself of that opportunity. Reminder that because this is Labor Day weekend, there's no school tomorrow. Also, the church and school office will be closed tomorrow. So if you have anything that you need from Jane, then if you just wait until Tuesday for that. If there are any pastoral emergencies that arise tomorrow, of course, you may contact me. Also, looking ahead, Tuesday evening is going to be the ladies' aid meeting. So after taking the summer off, the ladies are getting together again. I'm sure they're very excited about that. 7 o'clock in the Activity Center on Tuesday. I want to let you know about this coming Saturday, which of course is September 11th, and not just any September 11th, but the 20th anniversary of the terrorist attacks in New York City and elsewhere. In order to commemorate that, there's going to be a community program that is offered at the American Legion in Nashville. It's not a worship service, but the Washington County Ministerial Alliance will be involved with the program, and actually I'll be offering one of the prayers, but there's going to be some keynote speakers and just an opportunity for the community to get together and to remember the events from 20 years ago. It's going to be at 2 o'clock at the American Legion in Nashville, and we hope you'll consider attending on Saturday. Saturday morning at 10 o'clock here will be the first of our new members classes. We have a pretty nice sized class getting ready to start. If there's anybody that hasn't talked to me yet about being in the class, if you'd come and let me know that you're interested, or anyone, if you're already Lutheran, if you're already a member of the congregation, you can come and join us and get a nice refresher. You're certainly invited. So that'll be 10 o'clock this Saturday. You know about the mask policy, so I don't need to go into any detail about that. wanted to let you know, coming up ahead, this is the month of September, so it is time for us to put together our nominating committee for boards and officers for the next ministry year as we look ahead to the annual meeting in January. We like to try to get a ballot together by the October quarterly meeting, and that's why we start the process now. So those of you who are serving on boards or serving as officers, please be at the nominating meeting on Thursday, September 16th. And for the rest of you, please prayerfully consider how you might respond if you receive one of those lovely letters in the mail. It means that people thought you would do a good job, and so we think so too. So please prayerfully consider serving on a board or committee. If you're interested in a particular position, please let one of us know so that we have that information before the nominating meeting. Also, with our new year of ministry, we have a new set of confirmands who have begun their instruction, and public school confirmation begins today. We are in need of secret angels for our seventh grade confirmands, our first year confirmands. And so anyone who's interested in being a secret angel, please let us know. Please let Jane know in the office. Those of you who were secret angels last year, you get to keep your secret angel person this year, so you don't have to worry about switching or anything. This would just be for new secret angels. There's a call out for that. And I believe those are all the announcements I needed to highlight today. Did I forget anything? All right, God's blessings to you and your family as you enjoy the rest of this Labor Day weekend. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us. Have a blessed week.